Can I have everybody's attention, please? Planning Board meeting, December 3rd, 2025. It's a regular meeting. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as Public Open Meeting Act. And we're going to go to a flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'd like everybody to put whatever electronic device they have on silence, because this stuff is pretty sensitive and it'll pick all that up. And can we get a roll call, please?
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Barnes?
Here.
Mr. Becker? Mr. Birch? Mrs. Halliday?
Here.
Mr. Jessel? Mr. Loper?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Mr. Stell?
Here.
Dr. Vandeshore?
Here.
First thing on the agenda is PBA-007 10th Street Partners LLC, 101 and 1020 Ocean Avenue, Block 101, Lot 1, Block 102, Lot 5, Hospitality Zone. Mr. Battistini.
Good evening, ladies.
1 second. Mr. Stell.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. John Battistini on behalf of the applicant, 10th Street Partners LLC. This is an application in regards to the Ocala Inn. A couple of nuances. You'll see in the packet there was a resolution from 1985. That resolution from 1985 cross deeds that I'll use the buildings that we have now, the Impala Suites, the Impala Island Inn, as well as the parking spot over at 1020 Ocean, that they are to be sold and always together. The Impala Suites, as you know, has been sold to 15 unit owners, and you'll hear testimony this evening, that the parking requirement that was in the 1985 resolution is no longer needed because all the parking will conform. At this time, I have Frank Varallo, who is a managing member for 10th Street Partners LLC, as well as Andy Bechtel, and Andrew Bechtel, and if you want to have them sworn in, however you want to
do it. Mr. Battistini, who's going to testify first?
Mr. Varallo is going to testify first.
And we'll hear from him first.
Mr. Varallo, will you please come up?
Good evening, Mr. Fowler. Testimony about the business to me. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so be done.
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you spell your last name?
Spelled V like in Victor, A-R-A-L-L-O.
Just have a few questions for Mr. Varallo. Mr. Varallo, can you describe the project in simplest terms?
Yep. Currently, we have 74 motel rooms and 4 suites on the property.
What are we looking to do?
I'd like to take that down to 38 suites.
And this is going to be a condo hotel, is that correct?
It will be a condo hotel format, and the master deed will reflect that well. And it will provide for third-party management to check-ins, and also will comply with
Ocean City zoning.
Zoning requirements, condo hotel.
And do you believe that this is a better fit for Ocean City than what's currently there?
Yeah, what currently I have there is the rooms currently don't provide for a more family atmosphere. By combining the rooms, it allows mom and dad and grandma to be in the room all together, creating a better atmosphere. Also, the occupancy rates would go up. We'd have more people down here. A lot of my single rooms go unrented throughout the summer, and because of some of the other suites that I do have, they rent substantially better. So it would be better for the community and myself to see that we do these types of suites and create that family atmosphere.
I have no other questions for Mr. Varallo.
Mr. Battistini, do you want Mr. Varallo, your first name?
Frank.
Thank you.
Board have any questions? At this point, we'll reserve. Yeah, Randy.
I have one. If I understood the testimony, the proposal will comply with zoning ordinance. Was that the statement?
for purposes of how the operation of the condo tell.
Okay, so you're referring to, trying to get the section of my report, we're referring to those operational standards in 25205.7.7?
That's correct, where you have to have a, you know, an area so somebody can check in and so forth.
So you conform with all of those?
It is our intention that we do it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? We'll reserve if we, something comes up. Thank you.
Mr. Beckel has been here many times before, and if he can be sworn in, I know no one's ever seen him before, but if he could be sworn in as a professional.
Good evening, Mr. Beckel. Testimony about to give this evening. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so I've got.
It is.
And as previously stated, Mr. Beckel has been in front of us on many occasions, and we are familiar with his credentials, and we may proceed.
Mr. Beckel, go for Mr. Perallo. Talk a little bit about the project. Let's go a little bit deeper. What are we doing here?
Sure. So there's 74 motel rooms currently and four suites that are rented out. We are going to combine, we're going to leave the suites as they sit, but we're going to combine the other 74 motel rooms down so that we have another 34 suites. So it's going to be strictly all suites in the hotel. There's already existing office space, there's existing amenities on site. We are simply refreshing basically all the rooms. There's no expansion of the building in any way, shape, or form. We're literally, two rooms are right next to each other. There's a demising wall every other couple of rooms. We're cutting between the actual rooms and not the demising wall. So we're creating suites because of that. Those are in, you see the larger suites that we've designed in different locations due to different depths of the existing building that we're creating. These suites, they'll technically be nine suites that are actually over 700 square feet. If you're a unit that is over 700 square feet, you require two off-street parking spaces. Currently on the lot, there are 49 parking spaces. We will actually be, our bulk chart says 46 parking spaces are what we require. Technically, one of those units is not being modified, so technically we need 47 parking spaces. So we technically have a surplus of two off-street parking spaces with this new layout for the interior of the hotel. The other very important thing about this hotel is it's not going to be a lockout configuration where there's multiple doors facing the hallway. It is a single door to the suite, and that is it. Doors will be removed and windows will be substituted in place of doors. So it is a one, there's 38 keys. 38 suites, that's it. There's no breaking the suites off and other little mini suites and that kind of thing. It's 38 and that's it.
We going to update some of the electric?
Yeah, we'll be adding kitchenettes or kitchens into most of the suites as well. So again, give a family the opportunity, they want to bring their own food, to actually cook in there if they wanted to, or grab breakfast in the morning instead of maybe going somewhere else, that kind of thing.
And we're not making any expansion on the outside, but we're going to make it look pretty.
We're going to fill in what we need to fill in. We're adding some siding to stuff. We're adding some windows, but that's about it. It's a refresh, not a redo.
Let's talk about parking.
Sure.
You briefly mentioned that we meet the parking requirements, which in fact we exceed by two. We're over two.
Yes. So this is a very important thing to note, and I want to make sure we put this on the record. Currently, there are 147 bedrooms in this motel. Beds. We're going to reduce that down to 78. So we're reducing the bedroom count by 69 beds. Again, to create the more family-oriented suite where you can have an area for kids to sleep, an area for parents to sleep, or grandparents and kids, whatever. That is a major issue, a major point to make, because again, we're not going to have as many beds as currently there. And we believe that's another reason why the parking is more.
Mr. Bechtel, could you go to those numbers again?
Yes, sir. There's currently 147 beds in the hotel now. There'll be 78 beds in the hotel after this renovation is complete.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Drop 69, please.
And do we have to require any ADA parking?
Yes, we have five ADA parking spaces.
Now, let's talk about the size of these stalls. Do they fit under the current requirements for the size of the parking stalls?
Typical parking space would be 9 by 18. These existing spaces range from 9 by 18 to 8.5 by 22 to 8 by 23 to 8 by 9, 19, that those kinds of spaces. So they're kind of all over the place. But they're there, they're existing. We have photographic evidence that cars parked, no problem in there, that we will submit into evidence as well. But the parking is there.
So you're, in your belief, they can be pre-existing non-conforming, current condition?
No different than a front yard setback, a rear yard setback, impervious coverage, those kind of things, a pre-existing non-conforming.
And with regard to the trash enclosure, there's a comment that was made about the trash enclosure being on another person's property.
Well, it's technically in the right of way, so we need an encroachment permit for the, so that's Little Ocean Avenue or whatever. The trash enclosure encroaches onto the right of way there. We would ask for an encroaching permit if we are so approved tonight. We will make sure we get that encroaching permit.
And if not, we'll move it back.
Yes, and again, that has no effect on the parking as well, in the back of the building as well.
Now, you heard me briefly mention the 1985 resolution and the two aspects of it. One was the fact that you cannot have the Impala Suites, the Impala Island Inn, and the parking lot be sold separately. And it's your understanding that a lot of that had to do with the parking requirement for the Impala Island Inn. Is it your testimony tonight that the Wild Dunes, which is identified as Lot 24, the Impala Suites, which is identified as Lot 25, all have the required parking for what building improvements are there now?
Yes, the Wild Dunes, I believe, has 28 rooms. They have 28 spots. All those rooms are under the 700 square feet. The Impala Suites, we actually did that design, and quite frankly, this was unbeknownst to us about even any of this deeding with the parking. I assume some of that parking probably also had to deal with the Bloom and Tulip and the other hotel that was adjacent to it, plus that crazy parking garage thing. Again, that was all demolished, and all the parking. I believe we also had a surplus of parking in that development as well.
And if in the 85 resolution, there is a comment that although the parking is not perfect, this is an enhancement in the 85 resolution.
That was what was said. Yeah.
And when we have this application before this board for the Impala Island Inn going into a condo hotel, we're not seeking any parking variance at all.
No, again, we're using the existing parking on site.
So the purpose of the parking on 1020 Ocean Avenue really serves no purpose because everybody has the required parking.
Everybody has the required parking according to ordinance, yes.
And you also heard the testimony. Well, your understanding that the Island Suites has been sold.
Yes.
To 15 unit owners?
Yes.
So by amending the 1985 resolution, we're kind of cleaning up that resolution because it's not what's there now.
Well, it certainly reduces the complexity. If every lot can stand on its own, it probably should, just to avoid this kind of confusion.
And you had mentioned that there's some pre-existing conditions?
There's a couple pre-existing conditions. The front yard setback is 9 foot, approximately 9 foot 5 inches, 20 feet is required. That was a setback that was established in the HZ zone or the Ocean Avenue. That variance has been gotten by many triplexes that have been built there. It's also been gotten by other development that's happened. Again, it's a pre-existing nonconformity. We're not adding anything to the building. We're not going into that setback. Again, it's a pre-existing nonconformity. The rear yard setback is 3.94 feet, where 20 feet is required. Again, we're not moving anything, we're not changing anything. It's a pre-existing nonconformity. The impervious coverage is approximately 8.1% higher than what is permitted by ordinance, but again, it's a pre-existing nonconformity where we're not adding anything to the building, so again, it's pre-existing. And again, the parking spaces, which vary in size, absolutely all work as far as depth is concerned. They're all 18 or greater. In fact, they're in some cases 22, 23 feet wide, deep. Again, all pre-existing nonconforming.
The board has a document from the Impala Suites Condominium Association say that they consented to this application, they've understood it in regard to amending the 1985 resolution. We also have a consent from the Wild Dunes as well. I'd like to mark that as Exhibit A if I could.
Exhibit A, one of today's date.
That's not in the packets?
It is not.
And I believe also in the packet is the actual...
Excuse me, Mr. Madison. The document you just handed to Madam Secretary, what are we calling that?
Consent by the Wild Dunes to the amendment to the 1985 resolution.
I just put Wild Dunes consent.
Or the Wild
Make
Dunes
it short and sweet. That's the only one we have.
Do you have another one of these?
I can send it to you tomorrow.
You do. You make a grand one. Thank
you. Of course.
And Mike, you want to
give me one of them?
Or the one I marked? You want to send that one back around? Give that one to Gary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A little bit more in regard to your packets. You will have a deed, and that deed is from April 13th, 1987. I know it's been provided to Mr. Scheidick. And in that deed, that is a deed that speaks of Track 2 and Track 3, which is actually Lot 15, which is the parking spot. And the deed, this particular deed, combines the two tracks, would have been the 250-foot lots that were on 1020, and if I can read into the record, grantor hereby covenants and restricts track 1, 2, and 3 to be under and subject to the restrictions that said tracks may not be sold individually without the prior consent and release of the foregoing restriction by the City of Ocean City Planning Board or its equivalent successor and the governing body of the City of Ocean City, a body of the Republic. It being the intention that without the aforementioned release, that this restriction shall be run for land and shall be in perpetuity until the demolition or removal of the motel facility of track. It goes on to say that where the City of Ocean City has granted its approval of track 2 and 3, again being the property at 1020, used as a parking lot in conjunction with the motel on track 1 being the Impala Inn, and deemed it to be an integral part of the operation of the Grand Tours Motel facility and the operation thereof. And this follows along with the 1985 resolution that required additional parking because, if you read the 85 resolution, it goes on to say that there was an insufficient amount of parking. But we now have sufficient parking for both of, well, all three. Wild Dunes has its own, the Impala Suites has its own, and the Impala Hotel now has its own as well.
So what's going to happen to that parking lot?
It'll probably get sold. It'll get sold.
So it's being separated from all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Your testimony is each individual motel, hotel, condo, hotel, whatever it is, has their own standalone parking.
Yes.
And that additional parking lot that was there and no co-joined to all of them is no longer necessary for these three units, three developments, and approval will allow that to be sold, not used for parking anymore.
That's correct. And that's in the 1985 resolution where it actually speaks that there is insufficient parking for the, it's a really ugly written resolution, none of you did it, but it speaks of there being insufficient parking and that the parking to 1020 makes it better. So the idea was there was insufficient parking, and that's why you had 1020, but now we meet all the parking requirements. So it's no longer needed for parking.
The 1020 was the first example of a parking lot within 500 foot of a principal structure.
Okay, somebody was here for that.
Yeah. No, I wasn't here, but I know about it.
And my resolutions aren't ugly.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Nobody was here.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Nope.
So
we're just trying to look to clean up that resolution because it just doesn't, it's not appropriate in today's environment for the Wild Dunes, the Island Inn, and the Island Suites.
So who uses that parking lot now?
Because we still have 98 park, the rooms at the Island Inn, we actually have signs and it says Impala Hotel parking. So it's just the Impala Hotel.
So as of right now today, that's used as part of this existing project?
That's correct, okay. Because we would need the parking. Mm-hmm. Correct?
That is correct.
But we'll no longer need the parking mm-hmm. if this is approved.
How big is that site?
Which one?
The parking?
It's 100. It's 100 by, I think, 150.
120. Actually, it might be 135. No, 100.
It's 135. 135 feet.
100 by 135?
Yep.
Yes.
It was Mr. Staten's house.
Was it really before it was there?
Yeah.
So
it used to be
two lots. Yeah. It used to be 250 footers. And then this deed in 87 consolidated the two lots.
So presumably there's going to be a sale or they'll have to come back. And they've been consolidated to one lot?
They've been consolidated by the city 7D.
One tax bill,
as far as we understand. We're going to have to go to the zoning board because the zoning board, because it's consolidated at the time that the zoning board passed their HC subdivision rule, which says if you want to subdivide a lot, you have to go to the zoning board if you're in the HC zone. It's the strangest thing is you guys don't hear about it because it has to go to the zoning board. So
the planning board did create that ordinance, the HD,
yes.
Then that says right, lots existing yes. at the time can develop, but if it's a new subdivision, it has to go to zoning board for what if you're putting on like residential or something.
That's correct. So we would have to do that, or whoever the new owner is.
So it's sort of again, you're not going to see that again.
Not if it's a subdivision.
Right.
It'll have to go to zoning.
Well, assuming it may not. Okay.
We would have loved to go to do the subdivision here, but in speaking with the city said no. Since it's been consolidated, we can't do it.
Got it.
Mr. Beckley, you had a chance to review Mr. Scheidig's engineering report. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we went over earlier today in hopes that we can try to answer most of Mr. Scheidig's questions. In regard to his technical comments, one of the things is in regards to the reduction of unit 698 to enlarge an adjoining office.
Correct.
I think you briefly touched about that for purposes of parking, but
yes,
there's a couple of other things that we want to make clear.
Absolutely. So there are, on the ground floor level, there is a unit that from the pre-existing to proposed was reduced in size. There was some discussion as to whether or not that unit would be reduced. It has been, we've come to the conclusion that it will not be reduced to, again, just refreshing that unit. That's why that unit will be over 700 square feet, will require one extra parking spot, and requires 47 spaces. That office modification will not be happening. And that office, again, is for on-site work for the hotel.
And comment number three speaks of the resolution, the 1985 resolution. You've already addressed that.
That's correct, yes.
Paragraph 6 speaks of a column that might be in the way.
Yes,
of
that's what I marked. So. Yes. I'm going to hand this up. This is a group of photos for the basically showing the entry and the parking for. I only have a few of these, so I'm going to pass out what I have. Sorry,
back. Yes,
question. The photos of the columns. They're basically the back, in the very back of the package, but I wanted to make sure you guys had the photos of basically how the parking schemes are working here and some of the entry, etc. But this clearly shows how the parking in the column area where Mr. Scheidig had some concern does work. In fact, there are very large vehicles parked there, from an H2 Hummer to a Sierra Nevada pickup truck. So there's quite a few parking spaces that obviously can work there. I just want to show how they work with the column so that Mr. Scheidig can be satisfied with that.
Can we get a revised plan showing that?
Absolutely.
Because the plans clearly show that the columns are in the middle of existing parking spaces.
Yes, sir.
And these photos aren't showing that.
Yes, sir.
Before we move on, did you give one to Gary? Gary needs one. And it's 17 pages. I'm just going to do A2, 17 pages of photographs, or do you want? Okay.
A2.
You don't want me to do each one? Okay. Thank you.
Paragraph 7 speaks of final siding. Kind of touched on that already.
Yes. We're going to be putting final siding up on the building that is permitted because this is not a retail store of any kind of stuff like that, so we can use vinyl siding on the building.
And the paragraph number 8, the applicant shall provide additional information regarding the existing proposed apartments within the structure, specifically the apartment size, number of bedrooms, and use, etc. Provide floor plans. We've done that already.
Yes, and again, we're leaving them as they sit. Again, they're used as suites and not as apartments. It's not like somebody's living there year-round. These have always been used as a suite. It says apartment because that was the language that was originally given to us by the former owner, but it's always been apparently a suite.
And can you provide some testimony? Three offices, they're not really three offices, they're really two offices.
So on the ground floor level, the right off the entry driveway, there we call an area an office. The second half of the office is the lobby. It's where the people come in, it's where all the brochures are, it's where the check-in desk is. Immediately behind that, or just south of that space, is an actual office. And then up on the second level, there's an office conference room that's there as well. So again, those are all used for day-to-day activities of running the hotel.
Paragraph 10 speaks of whether or not we're going to exceed Chapter 21 Flood Prevention Ordinance.
Again, this is a refresh. It's not a rebuild. So the current hotel is valued at just the improvements at approximately $2.1 million. I've been told by the owner that they're not anticipating a cost of over $1 million to make these refresh adjustments. Most of it's interior.
What was that dollar amount again?
It's about 2.1 is what it's worth now. And again, they're not anticipating spending more than $1 million to do this refresh.
This way? And I need A1 back.
So they won't have to, so the construction department won't require to bring up the current flood on the
construction department.
But if they go over, they would, right? They
yes, sir.
What do you do, or is there a contingency that does happen?
Hold me back.
Good enough.
It's the only contingency that I have. And paragraph 11, that deals with the resolution, the 85 resolution we've already talked about, the parking lot.
Yes, sir. I think we've beaten that down.
Okay. Paragraph 12, shared services. There'll be no shared services. Each of the individual Wild Dunes has its own master deed, its own association. They have a third-party partnership contract agreement for their services.
Linens, housekeeping, et cetera, yes. They're all self-reliant. They don't require, a mothership, if you will, for the way that they're right now.
Okay. Same thing with the Inn Palace Suites. Inn Palace Suites has its own
association. Yes.
They hire whoever they want to do for their check-ins and for their services and so forth.
That is correct.
And the Impala Island Inn will have its own association, and its association will enter into it.
It's the OG, yes. It's the original one, so yes, it has all those pieces of it.
In respect to the sidewalk and concrete,
don't get upset.
I think we have more pictures. Like Captain Noah.
I have a few more photos.
How many pages?
I didn't count them.
Count them again.
I'm sorry. It's a few, but basically it's showing. I count 10.
All right, we'll go with Andrew.
10. These are the sidewalks around the property. And we believe that all the sidewalks are in very good shape. We're not anticipating on removing or replacing any sidewalk. There may be a cracked sidewalk that may need repair, but all the sidewalks are in relatively good shape. And most likely, a lot of them have actually brand new governor concrete in them, from, I assume, a previous street improvement.
So you're formally asking for a waiver from the requirement to put in new curb and sidewalk?
That is correct, yes, sir. Yes.
I want to make sure the board understands that.
Yes.
Even where it's damaged? No, sorry.
This is for
I'm more than happy to repair any of the anything that is damaged, or if anything does get damaged during the renovation. But again, it's a very minor damage, and one could argue it's just a crack in the sidewalk.
Not much
other,
I guess. And paragraph 14. There is, again, a comment that is made to mechanical equipment shall conform with the applicable flood elevation requirements.
Again, we're not improving more than 50%, so if there's a PTAC that happens to be, that's the through-wall unit that heats and cools the lower unit. If that's below base flood, and it's not below base flood because base flood here is 8, and those rooms on the first floor are actually 8.4. Those units aren't at design flood, which is probably 2 feet above base flood, which would be a 10. Again, they're permitted to be there because, again, we're not creating new, we're not adding new space.
And is there anything else that's in Mr. Shadick's report? But would we agree there's nothing in there that we're not going to agree?
No.
Not to put anything against Mr. Shule's report, but there's really not much in there.
It's fairly clean. There are some questions and concerns, which I believe we've addressed, so I don't know if there's anything that really needs to be brought up with his report. Again, we can certainly go through the items, but I believe all of them have been discussed.
We're going to let Mr. Shore do that, because I don't think there was much in there. And in closing, is this almost essentially a by-right site plan?
It is, and again, the idea here is quality, not quantity. I mean, we're reducing the amount of beds by 69. Create these suites, which we believe are going to be better for families that are coming to the city.
We're not looking for any new variances. Everything is pre-existing non-conforming?
Everything is a pre-existing non-conforming, if it isn't already in conformance.
As far as you know, we're not looking for any design waivers?
Well, we're asking for the waiver for the concrete on the side, so yes, there's that waiver, I guess, that Mr. Shadick was pointing out, but other than that, no.
We have nothing else to add, unless we have any questions from the board.
Any board questions to the applicant's professionals?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, just recap. Obviously, the big part of this is the parking that you'll be getting rid of. And I think I heard testimony saying that we're doing this to increase the amount of people who would use the property, to make it more desirable for people to come and do it. It sounds like it's to increase the amount of people that will be coming and staying there. So I would think the extra parking would help with that as well.
Agreed.
So that's why I think that would be a good fit to keep the parking, as opposed to eliminating the extra parking for overflow, if you're anticipating more.
We're anticipating more use, not more people. That's the whole point. If you get rid of 69 beds, I don't know how you can say you can have more people there. So if the entire hotel was occupied, you have 69 less beds.
But I guess the thing is not right now, but this will help them rent more. So you're increasing the amount of people that will be there.
We're increasing the desire to be in these units so they do not sit vacant. But there'll still be a waiting list. There'll still be a reservation list. You know, there's still only so many rooms. This is all the people that we can get there. As it sits now, it's 74 motel rooms.
It seemed like the extra parking would help, though, if you become, obviously, I hope it is popular, hope people are all the time, hope it's always 100% full. And this extra parking would probably make it more desirable, I would think, in case people do bring two cars, which happens sometimes. Families don't travel together. They come from different places. So I would think the extra parking would be helpful for the property. This is my opinion.
But that's not before the board, because we meet the parking requirements.
We still have to agree to get rid of this resolution from 1985, though, to make this work. It is sort of for the board. If we don't agree to that, then we can't move this forward.
But that resolution, the 1985 resolution, was based upon there not being a sufficient amount of parking at the time that the application was made. They needed a parking variance to be able to do what they wanted to do. The purpose of and the spirit behind the 1985 resolution no longer exists because we don't need the parking to meet the parking requirements.
Right, but it is here. It is in there. Saying that it's part of it. So that has to be considered as part of the application. That's all. So I'm just telling you my opinion.
How many spaces are on the 100 by 130 foot lot currently?
I don't have that off the top of my head. But if you were doing them as... It's a little tricky to do the parking because I believe they have a double stack.
In your professional opinion, take an educated guess. You know, I think it's an important question.
There's 40, about 40 probably.
Okay. And further, what Mr. Allegretto had
Yes, sir.
Is that right? And we only need 49 spaces for that. That's not a lot.
47 spaces for that, technically.
This is 46 required, 49 provided.
Correct. And we have 49 spaces total, yes.
And, you know, you testified that some of these spaces are all over the place. Like, some of them look like they're awkward.
Well, that's specifically why we have this one of those other, because those are the tighter spaces. We want to make sure that that goes.
What you said, there was like spaces that are 9 by 18, and ones that are bigger.
There's ones that are bigger. There's ones that are smaller. But basically, the smallest ones approximately 8, I think, at the tiniest.
We know how many are at minimum 9 by 18.
Minimum 9 by 18, I would say probably a little less than that.
The reason I'm asking all these questions is because apartments are real. I don't want to say this. Right now, apartments are a real political third rail in the town, and I can't say I disagree with that. So to have an application right now, 18,000 plus square feet of living area, and a property that has a parking lot, that has maybe another 40 spaces or however many it has. And this now has what's required, but half of them aren't even really with minimum standards. It's a little bit of a reach.
I agree with those parking spaces are used to get on a seasonal basis for the cars. They have not required any kind of density things in terms of the frank drive. We can discuss that if you want. But again, this thing's important because, you know, whatever which way we decide here, parking's an issue.
And you know, I've set a good example with it. And I would like to know, I mean, you meet the requirements that the spaces are what they're supposed to be. But it doesn't sound like the spaces are what they're supposed to be. They're drawn here. I mean, if there's a minimum standard, I would, in my opinion, as a member of the board would be, only the spaces that are at least at the minimum standard should be counted as legitimate. Would you agree?
No, because again, it's a pre-existing non-conformity. And technically we're not expanding the building. So if we were expanding the building in a shape or form, I would absolutely agree with you that we'd have to have some conformance there. But this is no different than a front yard setback thing. I understand your comments.
It's a tough decision to make. You know?
I understand.
I have a question. I'm looking at, we'll go suite six, proposed suite six. Two beds, I'm assuming they're queens.
Yes, sir.
Living room, that's got to be a pullout. Is that a pullout in the bedroom?
No, that's a couch.
That's a couch?
That's a couch, yes, sir. Can you have it as a pull-out of the living room? Sure, you have it as a pull-out.
Well, that puts this as...
But those you can't pull out because of the beds that are there.
Yeah, you can if you scale it out. That works. I'm just concerned that, you know, yes, the units are going to be reduced in these suite things. But if you start looking at the things that can be beds, I think your bed count is askew. And that throws off parking and everything else.
Parking is tied to the square footage of the unit itself.
It's a heavier use to the building. I mean, you know, if this was two units originally, and that existed in two units, and this was the equivalent of that unit, then you really haven't reduced density inside the building. You know, the same number of people are going to be in there, whether it's big or two separate small ones. And I don't even see a floor plan for the small units.
These are all the new units. So these are how they lay out. These are the small units, which are 590 square feet. And then the big units are on the last page. So if you're looking at the small, these are the big.
Three, four, five. I just have to kind of agree with Mr. Adams that I think the parking is critical. So, because I went down there and went through the building because I looked at your original plans.
Yes, sir.
And it showed, as Mr. Scheich showed, there's where there were columns in the parking spaces, and I was concerned about that. And I went down and I drove around the building and I drove through the parking space and realized the columns are not where they were on the plan. Ooh. Which made
survey,
things,
the
yeah, the survey, but it made it easier to understand, and also made it easier to understand that there is a way out of the back of that where you're not backing in, backing out.
Yes, it's all one way drive.
You know, even though it's not marked. But I'm going to stop at this point because I'm going to get myself in trouble. And I, even though they're pre-existing parking spaces, some of them are really not parking spaces as far as the law goes. That's why I think that other parking lot, and I kind of remember when all this took place because we were involved a little bit because it was Staten's house being torn down to create that parking lot.
As the applicant went back and forth and again relied on the fact that we meet the parking requirements issued by, you know, the Ocean City zoning. I understand that you would want additional parking.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is not all the spaces are legal spaces, even though they're pre-existing. You know, I kind of like to see pre-existing spaces being adjusted to make 9x18s.
May I have a moment with my client?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the size.
Can I have A2 back, please? Thank you. So, technically, then they don't meet the zoning requirement, then, right?
Right.
Or am I? Okay.
All the way, because none of this. Jumbo wasn't even there, and we questioned all that at the time.
Correct.
So I just what's that?
Existing. I mean, what's that?